Well, I refer to this little presentation as Lucy, she's no lady, and that's literally true. Current thinking is she's a male. So right off the bat, we've pretty well established the premise of this presentation. This will be a critical examination of the Australopithecines, and particularly the Australopithecine, Australopithecus afarensis. Don't let these big words fool you, like Australopithecus. It simply means southern ape. When you see the word pithecus or pithecine, that means ape. And Australo means southern. So we will talk about southern apes. This is kind of a famous statue. It's appeared in a lot of t-shirts. It was built at the time of Darwin's publication of Origin of Species back in around 1925. At the time of the Scopes trial, 1925, getting ahead of my story here. And we're not sure who made the sculpture. The original's in St. Louis. It's a little bronze affair. It stands about 10, 12 inches tall. And the ape, of course, is studying a human skull, which is a little backwards, isn't it? That's the humor of the whole cartoon. The ape has a caliper here with which to measure the skull. He's sitting on a book. The book down here is Darwin, it says on it, I presume, The Origin of Species. And he has his feet on a Bible. And the Bible is open to a page, and there we read the Latin inscription, which I won't attempt to pronounce because all Latin is Greek to me, and of course all Greek is Latin. But it says there, or makes a statement that Satan had given, "You shall be as gods." Now, sometimes there's debate over this very starting premise. In fact, it was a debate at the time of the Scopes trial whether Darwin really said that man came from monkeys or not. Today, if you say that Darwin claimed man came from monkeys, people will dispute that, and they'll say that evolution teaches that man came from ape-like creatures. An ape, by the way, is a monkey that doesn't have a tail. But Charles Darwin, in his book, The Descent of Man, did say that the Simiidae then branched off into two great stems, the New World and the Old World monkeys. And from the latter, that is the Old World monkeys, at a remote period of time, the wonder and the glory of the universe proceeded. So don't let anybody tell you Darwin never claimed that man came from monkeys. He did, in fact, claim in this book that we came from the Old World monkeys. The Gallup organization has done a number of surveys to see what people think about evolution and specifically the origin of man. And in several surveys ranging from 1982 to 1992, and there perhaps have been more recent ones, I think the results are still fairly similar, the following four questions were asked, or the following four choices were given. What do you believe about the origin of man? One, God created man in his present form at one time within the past 10,000 years. Two, man has developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God guided this process. Three, same as above, except God had no part in the process. And four, don't know, possibly don't care. Now, only three would be acceptable to professional evolutionists. Evolution does not want divine assistance. If evolution were to require or even accept divine assistance to make it work, evolution would be in the same fix as creation, wouldn't it? Couldn't teach it in the public schools because it would involve divine intervention. So the whole idea is that the evolutionary paradigm does not depend on divine intervention. The second choice is some kind of a combination of creation and evolution. Anything from progressive creation to theistic evolution. Well, the results of the poll are kind of interesting. In 1982, 93, 97, and 1999, we see the figures have remained remarkably similar over the years. About 45% of the people believe in creation. And this would be a quite literal creation, that God created man in essentially his present form sometime within the last 10,000 years. Theistic evolution, or a combination of creation and evolution, is also a significant number of Americans, something a little under 40% perhaps. The evolutionary view, which is taught in our schools and our textbooks and on TV and what have you, holds less than 10% of the imaginations, I would say, of Americans. It's interesting that only 10% believe what we teach in our textbooks, and yet that 10% has a disproportionate impact, don't they, on our schools, on our newspapers, and I think on society at large.